And on today's QueerCast, Stephen Rader and I are coming to you from a little Mexican cantina. That's right. Nothing better than this lesbian likes than the Mexican fineries and a margarita. It's kind of Margarita Monday madness here with Stephen Rader and myself. We are also going to bring you the news today. And, oh, I'm so excited. Jason Moore. He spent some time in Chicago. We affected him well. We gave him a really good sense of purpose, and he went out and made good of himself. And he is the director of Avenue Q, coming to Chicago, and is on tour, so maybe coming to a city near you. What a fun show. It's kind of like the kids show for adults. But don't we always live our life like that?
Windy City QueerCast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City QueerCast.
Windy City QueerCast.
Windy City QueerCast.
Windy City QueerCast.
We're talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny. This QueerCast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
And you're listening to the Windy City QueerCast, show number 208. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Stephen Rader.
And we've just met like two lovers across a field.
Dun, 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 dun,
I know. We're on Halsted Street, and Stephen lives in the Gayborhood.
Yeah.
And I drove down to the Gayborhood.
And so we're in front of Cupid's Treasures, imagine.
Cupid's Treasures. What is Cupid's Treasures for those who don't know?
Basically, it's a porn shop. Yeah.
Right. It's a whole city block long.
It's a whole city block long.
And it's right next to like the leather Ram.
Which is owned by the same people. Oh, there's the Ram, and then which is the Gay Treasure.
Yeah, which is a Gay Treasure.
Yeah, that's my favorite. And then there's the Leather Sport.
You gotta love it. And I'm newly colored.
Oh.
I got my roots done. And it's a brisk day, but you know the Cubs won today.
Oh,
so it's feeling like spring.
It's feeling like spring. It's 45 degrees.
It feels like fucking fall. Let's be honest about it.
Yes, exactly.
It's you know, but I feel like you and I have had a good week because we were together at the Hydrate.
Oh my God, I had a blast
for the Windy City Gay Idol.
That was a really fun one. Only seven people, right? Seven contestants.
Yeah, we only had like seven or eight singers, but great singers, and we got a really hot Antonio, who sang some Luther Vandross.
Oh my God! And who was the other guy?
Jeff.
That's right. Oh,
I don't want to say his last name just in case. I don't think he cares. But he was a rocker.
Oh my God! Yeah.
And did the Dear Mr. President
and sang the hell out of it.
Have you seen my Bible of the Week, which is my Entertainment Weekly, that Josh Brolin is playing W in the new Oliver Stone film?
Shut up.
He looks so much like frickin' George W. Bush. I can't even tell you.
Oh my God. Did he have like his brain taken out? So
he did. He actually has that like line between his eyes and over his right eye.
He had to study
nuclear. So you didn't see Dolly this week, or did you see Dolly?
No.
I didn't either. Boy, she's kind of got in and out of town without her two biggest fans being there. How'd that happen?
We didn't get free tickets.
That's why. We're cheap. I actually did have one free ticket.
I know, and you couldn't go.
And I couldn't go because I'm committed to the Windy City Gay Idol.
You're committed.
I'm committed. Yeah. I should just commit myself, actually.
See you later.
Commit
Dolly's
myself.
Here.
You have blue stuff in your eyes. This is because you're
I tried to get it all off.
No, it's very cute. What are you doing these days? You're not playing a blue man, but you kind of are.
Oh, no, I'm playing. Yeah, it's still on my neck.
I'm licking my thumb and wiping Steven's face.
And people do this all the time. There's some blue in your eye. No, I'm playing the genie in Disney's Aladdin.
In Disney's Aladdin?
Yeah, which sounds really cool. And we got a nice review of the trim, but it's a piece. Let me tell you. Oh, it's a lot.
What's your song? What's your big song?
Friend Like Me. It's a lot of Robin Williams stuff. Yeah. And it's basically like an hour version of that, of the movie. And it's fun.
But you get to paint yourself all blue.
I get to paint just my face kinda blue, and then I have a blue bodysuit.
Oh, well, that's helpful.
Which is cray-cray. But everything's attached to it. Like, the whole kind of costume is attached to the bodysuit, which they thought was a great idea. Of course, you can't wash it.
And you can't pee in it, can you?
Exactly.
They have to cut you out a little glory hole.
So,
front and rear entry. Hey, we're at the Gay Treasure, the Ram.
Know. Let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is.
Oh, yes. So it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Now, is it kids?
It's a kids show, and I think
you're putting some adult stuff in it, so they get it.
They hire me because I kind of, you know.
Adulted up.
Yeah. Like today, I think I said something like, you know, I'm so happy to be out of the lamp. That Barbara Eden would just not shut up. You know, something
like
that.
There you go.
And they laughed. It's not funny now.
It is funny.
In the theater.
Here in just a minute when we go in here in Las Manitas to have some cocktails, you tell me that again, I'll think it's really funny.
You know what it's funny is when you're sitting with your kid and 20 minutes into your kid show, you're like, sweet Jesus, kill me.
Yeah.
And then I say something topical and like, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I have a brain.
Yeah. He knows we're here.
Yes.
He knows we're here.
We're live on the planet.
And we're here. Well, it's kind of funny today because on our guest is Jason Moore. He's the director and former Northwestern University student and graduate, director of Avenue Q, which is coming to town. Speaking about the show, you really can't take kids to. It's kind of the adult kids show.
The internet is for porn.
Yeah. And everybody's a little bit racist. These are my favorite songs. You know, I think it's hilarious. It's like a Saturday Night Live sketch when they must have been writing the titles to the songs they wanted to include in their show. They
it
were like,
sucks to be me.
K-Tel presents, you know, like the worst songs ever you could teach your kids. Like, it's porn. What is the thing about everybody likes porn? What's it?
Yes. Oh, what is it? The internet is for porn.
Internet is for porn.
Oh, yes.
And everybody's a little bit racist. And
oh, yes.
It's okay if you're gay.
Oh, yes.
Like, these would have been great. K-Tel,
if
top
you
one.
Were gay, it's
if
really
you were
great.
Gay.
It's a great show.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Won
have you
the
seen
Tony
it?
Award. No, I didn't see it, but it won the Tony Award over Wicked.
Yes. Wicked! Yes. It did.
And my favorite thing about that was watching Stephen Schwartz's face.
Oh, dear.
When Wicked didn't win and Avenue Q did. I mean, he kind of did that. Who was that woman that just did that? Trisha Yearwood, who they had the camera on her, and she was like, God damn it, or something like that. Faith Hill.
But that was a joke.
That's it.
I think
sure
she was a joke.
Sure, it was a joke. It was the same thing. You kind of saw Stephen Schwartz's face crack, and I loved
and
it.
And you loved it.
I loved it, that hack. Are you listening, Stephen? Write some music.
Write some music for Stephen.
For me. Hey,
Stephen Schwartz, write some music for Stephen Ray.
Stephen Sondheim writes some music.
Yeah, Stephen Sondheim. All the Stephens. They're really great gays.
We should probably.
You know, it's we're going to walk in. We're going to go into Las Manitas and get ourselves some margaritas, and we'll be back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Mr. Taxicab Over-Accessorizer.
Bobbleheads, tropical air freshener, an antique chandelier. You've got it all covered in tinsel and Mardi Gras beads.
I can't see the road.
When it comes to interior design, you don't trust anything that can't be plugged into a cigarette lighter.
Can I use a toaster?
No matter where they're going, your passengers always ask the same question. Is this a taxi cab or a Turkish bazaar?
How much for the candelabra?
So take a day off and crack open an ice-cold Bud Light night of the knick-knack. Because only you can proudly say, yes, I do have junk in my trunk.
Mr. Taxi Cab over accessorizer.
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Dance.
Art. Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 12th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
American Theater Company presents Speech and Debate, the story of three high school misfits who team up to expose their teachers' online secrets by forming their school's first speech and debate club. This timely comedy is Ugly Betty Meets Election, exploring queer life in high school and hypocrisy in public life. The Tribune says it is exceptionally stimulating and word perfect about teens. Playing now through May 18th. For tickets to Speech and Debate, visit atcweb.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents Around the World in 80 Days. This world premiere adventure follows Phileas Fogg as he races around the globe to save his fortune. Looking Glass Theater is in the historic Water Tower Waterworks on Michigan Avenue. For tickets to Around the World in 80 Days, visit lookingglasstheater.org.
For more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, I'm Proud FM's Deb Pierce, Toronto's official queer respondent. I'll be keeping you plugged into what's hot in Toronto this summer. Toronto's patio season is upon us, and that means Pride Week isn't that far away. Come join me and a million other people for Unified the week of June 20th to 29th. It promises to be one of the best prides ever, with headliner Sandra Bernhard and Spice Girl Melanie C already confirmed to perform. Look for me in Chicago on Friday, June 13th at Gay Idol at Circuit Nightclub. Visit www.torontotourism.com to find out why you should be heading to Toronto this summer. Hope to see you soon.
All right, so our margaritas just came. I'm getting a classic margarita with salt on rocks.
I have a banana margarita.
I could have a joke about that, and but I'm going to let that pass.
Oh, my, I didn't even
think
about that.
The phallic margarita. The guacamole comes with onions, cheese, and tomato. You mean the quesadilla?
No.
He's a cute little waiter, isn't he?
I'll take him.
He just got that whole thing.
They never age here.
They never age?
They have portraits in their closets here. Yeah, like Dick.
He has braces. Our waiter has cute little braces.
He's at least 106, and he looks 20.
He looks 12.
I can't stand him.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Yeah.
I can't stand him. No, I love the banana, though.
The banana margarita. I've never thought of such a thing.
Have four. They're small.
They're small.
Oh,
I don't like bananas. I do not like bananas.
What else would you like? You don't like America? You don't like America?
No, I don't like bananas because this is why I think I don't like them. I mean, I have had moments, you know, where I'm bowing to the porcelain crown that I am porcelain throne and I have to have a banana. But really, I hate bananas so bad. When I was a child, I think to make me go to sleep because I was really hyper, my family used to drug me. They gave me this medicine. And we refer to it still to this day as the yellow Medi. And my mom and dad would go get the yellow Medi, and it tasted like bananas, and it kind of knocked me out, and it made me go to sleep.
Oh,
because I was not a napping child. I did not take naps very well. I, to this day, as an adult, I can't lay down and take a cat nap. I don't even know what a disco nap is. I couldn't do it.
So there were Quaaludes in your...
Probably. I was probably being given Quaaludes in the 70s.
Use the bananas and put the Quaaludes in. She'll shut up for 5 minutes.
But actually, I don't know why I would object to them because they made me go to sleep, but maybe I just have an association with them.
Holy
I don't like them. Is there like a fruit or a vegetable you just absolutely don't like?
Oh, no. Food is all about it. I'm all about the food. I love everything. No, I don't. I can't think of anything I don't like to eat.
Especially nothing in the shape of a banana.
Hello.
Hello.
I'll take it. This is great.
This is so lesbian what we're doing here. We're doing a podcast over chips and salsa.
I have food in my mouth and talking.
I've always thought that we could, like, I could have a really successful lesbian bar. Because it's hard to have a lesbian bar, right? They're hard to stay open. They're like 20 gay bars for the one lesbian bar. And I've always thought that if you just serve chips and salsa at the bar for free, and it was pretty decent chips and really good salsa, you would sell a lot of beer. And the lesbians would flock. It would be like
moths. Personal best over and over and over. Is that it?
Personal best.
See, I knew you'd gasp. I knew it. That's
so good. So good.
Personal best. What else? What are the other lesbian movies? What are they?
The Hunger.
The Hunger. I was just about to say that.
That was the first one I saw. Bound.
Oh, yeah.
Bound's a good one.
Desert Hearts.
Yeah. You're very good. They just launched like a 20th anniversary edition of that or something.
Desert Hearts, really?
Yeah. Helen Slater. She was hot.
Yes, and she still is.
A lot of people liked the young one. I, of course, like the old one because I'm into the cougars.
You're into the... Is that what they
the
call
milfs,
them?
The mothers I'd like to fuck. Yeah.
Really? Cougars? Yeah. It's called cougars?
I guess so. Just older women. Like Demi Moore is a cougar to Ashton Kutcher's little young whatever.
Smart woman. She's hot.
Although
my friend Philip thinks that Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher should have been the ones who were either on Broadway or touring in the play version of The Graduate.
How brilliant
well,
is that?
That would have been
well,
brilliant.
She's the original mother I'd like to fuck. I mean, Anne Bancroft is the original MILF.
I mean,
before there was the term MILF, she was the MILF.
She's hot until her death.
Yeah, but she was like my age in The Graduate, kind of, wasn't she? She was in her 30s.
She was in her 30s or, I don't know, but God, she was hot.
That was weird.
That's one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, it really is. You know, speaking of, like, age, it's really funny. When we were at Hydrate the other night, these two gay boys came up to me.
Speaking of age, I got a story for that.
Oh,
go ahead.
Dear. And they were like, oh, they were coming up to me and be like, you're hot, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, but you're not a lesbian. And I was like, I am too a lesbian. And they were like, oh, shut up. You know, they're like freaking out. And then they... And then they were like, how old are you? And I was like, well, how old do you think I am? And they asked me how old I thought they were. I was guessing like 26, 27. I was on the nose with one. The other one was 23. And then they were like, how old are you? And I said, fur, 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 fur. And only people who watched Shirley Brown understood what I just said. Fur, 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 fur. And they were like, oh.
So they were surprised.
Are you kidding? And then he goes, you look good. And I'm like, when did fur, 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 fur become the age that you have to look good
no,
at?
They all think it's Carol O'Connor. That's what they do. They think they're supposed to be... After you're 35, you're Carol O'Connor. And then anything else, it's, no, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
The guy that was so drunk there that night took a shine to me from minute one.
Bobby.
That's his name?
Bobby!
Oh, sweet Jesus. And he asked me... Like,
this is Bobby that was telling me about my age.
There you...
He took a shine to me and you,
this
too.
Is the same one.
He drank the love juice.
He said to me... In like 2 seconds. So how old are you? I was like, well, I'm 38. How old do you think I am? And I said, I don't know, 26.
I'm 23.
Bingo, it's
him. That's him, same guy.
Yeah. And,
was he cruising for a particular age group or something?
Well,
picking
then he
says a poll?
This. He literally said, oh, well, that's cool. I'm into older guys. And I guess that's okay, but I kind of take that as like, well... that's okay. I'm into halitosis. You know what I mean? You know, that's okay. I'm into little dick. You know
it's
what I mean?
Like, just crazy because we, my partner Kelly, you know, she's one of the creators of the Laramie Project, and she had gotten to know when she was doing a show here. Somebody read her bio, who teaches at a college out in Naperville, and it's called North Central. And we went out to North Central last night to see their production of the Laramie Project. They're doing the Laramie Project, and you know, these kids were just had Kelly had come out and spoken to them. They were absolutely giddy and over the moon that she was coming. We went. It was a long schlep out during rush hour. Watched the play. 2-hour and 40-minute play, which is so moving. No matter who you see perform that play, it's just a perfect, beautiful play. And they did this talk back, and one of the kids, you know, somebody asked, like, had they been changed by doing this show? And one kid raised his hand, and he said, you know, honestly, he goes, I have been extremely changed because I didn't want to do this show because I'm gay. And I really remember when I was 11 years old
shut up.
Matthew Shepard was murdered. And it freaked me out because I already knew I was gay. And I thought, oh, my God, that's what happens to you. You get killed when you're gay. Now, he's 11.
Wow.
And he said, so this was really big. I felt really nervous about doing the play. It felt too full circle for me to be in this. And he really was, you know, said it's just been life-changing. Now he feels more out, more proud.
Of course.
He worked on the marketing of the show and all of this, you know. And he's 21 now. And it's you know, and I sat there for a second and went, wow, you were 11 when Matthew Shepard died. It's like the kids who don't remember a time without AIDS.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever, you know. I mean, it's... I came home that night, and Kelly and I were talking about it, and I said, wow, you know, I don't feel like I'm in my 30s. I don't feel this age. And yet I do. Like, yet I love it. My 30s have been the best years of my life.
I think that... The 30s are the best. However,
the 20s suck. They suck.
I think that's people in their 30s trying to make themselves feel better for being in their 30s. But
no, it's not. Well, not for me.
I figured it out in the 30s, but after 35, it changes.
Yeah.
It really changes. And there's a line from Company. Here's how gay I am.
Yep.
It's a line from Company where she says, "We're too old for the young people, and we're too old for the young people."
We're too generation. Young for the old people, and we're too old for the young people.
Too old for the young people, too young for the old people. We're the generation gap, is what she says. And that's exactly how I feel. Because I work with 20-somethings who think of me as the older guy.
Right.
And then I have a board of directors at Season of Concern that are all in their 60s, 50s and 60s.
Right. And you're the younger guy.
And they say things like this. Oh, you're a baby. You don't know what you're talking about. and I can't quite win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sort of in this weird middle.
I'm on par with you, though. I'm in that gender gap with you.
It's very strange.
But I like it. I kind of like straddling the line, which is kind of what we're doing.
Well, you're a lesbian.
And if
Hello?
You have a, and if you have a few co-al, there's that. And if you have a few cocktails, it, you know, usually straddling that line allows you to be a little immature.
Especially
and get away
if it's
with
a
it.
Banana cocktail.
Mm, we're going to go to the news. There's some serious stuff to do before we get too looped to actually do it.
Broadway's Tony-winning smash hit musical Avenue Q is for you.
If you've ever put out the garbage.
If you've ever put out.
If you're in the closet.
If your friend's in the closet.
If your coat's in the closet.
If you're in college.
If you wish you were back in college.
If you're a Democrat.
A Republican.
A Scientologist.
A gynecologist.
If you're a potty mouth.
If you're a potty animal.
If you want a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical with something for everyone.
Avenue Q is for you.
May 27th through June 7th at the Cadillac Palace Theater. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The arraignment of the 14-year-old charged with murdering his openly gay classmate, Lawrence King, was postponed. The district attorney's office has charged the teen with a hate crime and wants to try him as an adult. The California judge postponed the arraignment until June because Brandon McInerney's lawyer requested more time to prepare his case. The lawyer has said that he blames the school for the shooting, saying they weren't aggressive enough in handling issues between the two students.
Openly gay U.S. Senate candidate Jim Neal, who ran for the Democratic nomination in North Carolina, was defeated by Kay Hagan. Hagan, who will oppose incumbent Republican Elizabeth Dole, won with 60% of the vote in the May 6 primary. Neal was not supported by the Human Rights Campaign or the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, even though Hagan has stayed quiet on her GLBT issues. Many GLBT leaders have criticized the organizations for not giving an openly gay candidate more visibility and support.
Virginia voters made state history when they elected the first openly gay black man to public office May 6th. Lawrence Webb was elected to the Falls Church City Council. "I hope my election opens the doors for others to get involved in public service," Webb said. "It doesn't matter if you're gay or black or both. What matters is your dedication to building a better community and your willingness to work hard at it."
An amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution banning gay marriage has been stalled, being tabled by the full Senate on May 7th. The amendment had cleared a Senate committee on May 5th, but sponsors tabled the measure because they thought the bill would not pass in the House. In order for the bill to be enacted, two consecutive sessions of the state legislature would have had to approve it.
London's new mayor, the conservative Boris Johnson, appointed a gay deputy mayor. Johnson recently defeated the Labour Party's two-term, pro-GLBT rights Greater London Mayor Ken Livingstone. Johnson appointed the out-gay Tory Richard Barnes as one of his deputy mayors, which has caused some concern among conservatives.
Remember when Madonna made headlines all over the world for locking lips on stage with Britney Spears at the 2003 MTV Video Music Awards? Well, Queen Madge is at it again. The pop icon made waves during a concert in France when she pulled a female fan out from the front row, brought her on stage, and French kissed her. Well, when in France. The Material Girl is on tour promoting her new album, Hard Candy. She will be in Chicago in October.
Oh, here we go. In Barbara Walters' new tell-all book, Audition, Walters writes about Star Jones forcing everyone on the show to lie about her gastric bypass surgery. They didn't have to lie, we all knew the truth. In response, this week, Jones saying, "It is a sad day when an icon like Barbara Walters, in the sunset of her life, is reduced to publicly branding herself as an adulterer, humiliating an innocent family with accounts of her illicit affair and speaking negatively against me, all for the sake of selling a book." Walters also talks about Rosie O'Donnell's anger and rage and her abrupt departure from The View. And that's The Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
This is Julie Mosier, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, okay, but just so you know, if you were gay, that'd be okay. I mean, 'cause hey, I'd like you anyway. Because you see, if it were me, I would feel free to say that I was gay, but I'm not gay.
Nikki, please, I am trying to read. What?
were queer,
Nikki,
I'd still be here.
Nikki, I am trying to read this book.
Year after year.
Nikki.
Because you're dear to me. And I know that you would accept me too.
I would?
If I told you today.
Hey, guess what? I'm gay.
But I'm not gay.
It is The Little Show That Could. The winner of the 2004 Tony Award for Best Musical, Best Book, Best Score. It's just the best. And it beat the phenomenon of Wicked, and deservedly so. The New Yorker calls it subversive and uproarious. And Entertainment Weekly, my weekly entertainment Bible, calls it one of the funniest shows you are ever likely to see. And they are right. I just love this show. I saw it in New York in 2004. I cannot wait for it to come to Chicago May 21st through June 7th. And hopefully, if you're listening, the tour will come to a city near you. Jason Moore is the director of Avenue Q, and I am just thrilled to have him on the Queercast. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how are you? We're glad to be here.
Hey, it's good to have you, you Northwestern graduate. You made good.
Well, I don't know about made good, but made something.
Well, you made something of yourself. That's all Mama ever said, right? Just make something of yourself.
That's right. Just what get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. What do you love about Chicago? What was fun for you about being here and being at Northwestern?
Oh, I love that. I went to school there, and then I lived downtown for a couple of years. And, I mean, the brutal cold was tricky, but everything else I loved about it. You know, I love the theater. That's where I learned so much about the theater, with the Steppenwolf and the Goodman and all the good stuff that goes on there. I really feel like that was my grad school education, too, being in Chicago. But other than that, I like the lakefront and being on the water.
Yeah, this is the beautiful time of year. The Avenue Q folks are coming at the best time because springtime is upon us, and
it's
we all kind
perfect.
Of feel like we've been reborn out of the winter, so it's exciting.
It's when everyone goes outside in their shorts, even when it's 40 degrees.
That's right.
Yeah.
After being in the gym all winter, especially, well, the gay community's all been in the gym.
They're out on Halsted showing it off.
Exactly. Well, they have to be in the gym because, you know, in the steam room, that's where they get to have that winter sex, so it's good. Hey, tell me, for those people, because I have, and I want you to be the expert on the show, because after I see a show, I feel like an expert, especially when it's this fantastic of a show. But for people who have not seen the show and just think, that's that puppet musical, what is the story of Avenue Q?
The story of Avenue Q actually is quite traditional in a way. It's about a kid who graduates from a good college, goes into a big city and is looking for his purpose in life. And it's sort of a classic, you know, arriving in the big city to find your dreams kind of story. It's just that we use different conventions to tell that story. We use puppets and music and sort of conventions of children's television to address really adult situations.
Well, so why puppets and this model of children's television? I mean, what was the early inspiration for this form for a musical? It kind of seems like they were trying to break the mold, like make a musical for people who don't like musicals.
You know, that's exactly what it was. When Bobby and Jeff started working on the material, 6 years ago now, they were in the BMI Music Theater Workshop, and they were asking the question, you know, what do people want to see? And so many people are cynical about humans bursting into song live on stage. And so they did say that people, because of our childhood, they're accustomed and not threatened by puppet singing. Of course, now you try and sell puppets in a musical and it's trickier. but that, because of the way we all grew up on children's television with puppet singing and sing-alongs, you know, people seem to accept it quite readily. Now musicals are more common with, you know, High School Musical and everything else, Hairspray and Dreamgirls. People are a little bit more accustomed to watching people sing as opposed to animated creatures. But the puppets were a real way to say, hey, if people don't like musicals, maybe they'll feel more comfortable with puppets.
So is it kind of Sesame Street for adults?
You know, that's one way it's been summed up, and it is definitely inspired by Sesame Street and other children's television shows that use puppets and songs. But the what's funny about it is these sort of wide-eyed, hopeful creatures are talking about sex and getting out of the jury duty and racism, and that juxtaposition is hopefully what makes it funny.
So talk to me, because each of these characters does kind of deal with a life lesson or has their lesson to learn.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there's the exploration of everybody's a little racist.
Uh-huh. That was one of the first songs in the show, Everybody's a Little Bit Racist.
And then you also talk about something near and dear to many of our Queercast listeners' heart, porn.
Porn, of course, right at the head of the class.
And then you have one puppet that may be gay, but it's okay, right?
Yeah, we have our our closeted Republican puppet. He's called Rod. He's a bit uptight, but he sort of blossoms in the end of the show, shall we say.
Yeah. With the Foleys and the Larry Craigs and people of that of the world, I think you kind of hit the Republican closeted gay on the head years before.
I know. Well, they've always been around and always will be, so I guess it's a timely story.
Yeah. And you also allow some of the characters to be actually what they are, like Monster. I mean, there's a, you know, the theme that they're, we identify them not as people, but characters, and some of them happen to be monsters.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think puppets, particularly like Jim Henson's puppets, they're abstractions of human ideas. So that's why they're blue and yellow and red. It's just sort of meant to be, you know, any race or any child or an adult could look at a puppet and say, you know, that's me, or I identify with that. And the idea, one of our main characters is called Kate Monster, and she's this sort of slightly overweight, furry monster kindergarten teacher who's looking for love and eats a lot of vanilla ice cream and shaves her monster legs at night by herself. And the idea of monsters sort of, you know, is a way to address any kind of racism or bias against anybody. So again, it's sort of a symbol, but hopefully a funny one.
So what was the biggest challenge in being the director of this production? I mean, you know, looking back on it, you made it look all so easy, but was there a time when you thought that you would not see the actors and it, you would only see the puppets, or was the construct always to see the actors and the puppets both?
Yeah, in the show, we let the audience see the actors as puppeteers. There are puppets in the show, we should say, but there are also human characters as well, so it's kind of a mix, not unlike, again, children's television. But, you know, when we started doing the early versions of the show, and we just had our actors pulling on puppets sort of right and left, and we were just sort of doing it in our living room to experiment and figure it out, we actually realized, you know, it's fun to watch the way theater works. That's why people go to the theater. You can go to the movies to see realism, but to see something more unusual and the sort of performance aspect of someone performing it live, hopefully it becomes more interesting. I mean, the puppets have sort of a mind of their own. Sometimes they don't want to come out of their dressing rooms just like everybody else. But it is kind of but you know, it becomes one of the things that makes the show interesting. You were asking what I think the hardest challenge of it was. In a way, the puppets are the easy part because they are kind of the center of what the show's based on. But the show also uses animation, and it uses the convention. One of the characters is Gary Coleman, like from Different Strokes, but he's not played by Gary Coleman. So it's kind of an odd collection of weird ideas that all work together in a surprising way. Getting it to feel cohesive was probably the biggest challenge.
You know, Gary Coleman is still a very funny and timely joke because he was just in Divorce Court.
I know. Did you see it? It made me so sad.
Oh, I was just talking about it with one of our co-hosts, Coleman Domingo, and are you going to edit that, you know, and put that in the show where they had Mike Nichols taking out the Britney Spears joke? Do you now? You can't take out the Gary Coleman character, but do we insinuate now that he's been in Divorce Court?
No, I think, he's just a little bit of advertising, I guess. Gary's never seen the show. I actually, after that, wanted to call him and say, you know what, hopefully this will cheer you up a little bit. People love Gary, that character, when he comes out in our show, and maybe Gary needs a little love right now, especially if he's not getting it in the bedroom. Like, it sounds like he's not.
No, his wife looks like one of the refugees from the Mormon polygamous compound. I mean, I'm a bit terrified. So he really has not seen the show?
No, he never has. You know, early on when we were doing the show, there was that, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was being, elected governor of California, there was all these write-in candidates, uh-huh. And Gary Coleman was a write-in candidate, and he made the news right and left because he had received, like, thousands and thousands of votes, and somebody in the news asked him if he'd ever seen it, and he sounded kind of angry. I think he was probably less angry that we were, you know, putting him in the show and more angry that we hadn't asked him to play the part.
Right. So he could have gotten that good union check and that insurance benefits. So is it a parody? I mean, is this show essentially a parody, and that's how you can have a character named Gary Coleman?
Yeah, it is. It is parody. And also in Gary's particular case, we don't say anything about Gary that's not true.
Right.
And we were very painstaking to do that. The show sort of rests, you know, squarely between parody and an homage and something very unique on its own that uses conventions from other mediums and slaps them all together. It's a little bit of everything, I guess.
It's just a smorgasbord. I love it. A pantheon
a
of humor.
A smorgasbord, yes.
Can I tell you my Avenue Q story?
Please.
So I went to New York, and I didn't think I could get a ticket to Avenue Q. You all had not won the Tony yet. And I was there alone. I'm not normally in New York alone. And I walked up to the box office and said, can I get one seat for tonight's show? And she said, actually, I have one very good seat. It's a single seat. And I sat down. And I'm telling this story because it's a beautiful story to me, but also because it shows the vast range of people that will enjoy this show, young and old. I was sitting, there was only one seat between me and who I think is one of the grand dames of American theater, Frances Sternhagen, sat two seats down from me. And we laughed so much, my face hurt, and we discussed it. And I got to meet her. And I got to tell her that when I was very young, in my early teens, I saw her in the original cast of Driving Miss Daisy. So it was
amazing. A
theater night for me to see a show that was such a delight. I had just heard a little bit about it, so I was blown away. And I was sitting next to somebody who had made a huge impression on me.
That's a great story.
Isn't that a great story?
I love that story because actually a couple years later, I directed Franny in a revival of Steel Magnolias. So I guess maybe that's why she did the show because she liked Avenue Q.
There you go. And I'm a Southern girl. So, you know,
yeah.
We were laughing about how could anybody understand Driving Miss Daisy back when it came out. My dad and I went and we thought nobody will get this. Like nobody actually will believe there is a Piggly Wiggly, you know?
Yeah. Where in the South
she's so lovely. She loved Avenue Q that night. We were just laughing so hard.
She's a lovely lady. Where in the South are you from?
I'm from Tennessee.
I'm from Arkansas.
You are.
Yeah, I'm from Fayetteville.
Arkansas. I just love old Arkansas.
Someone likes their musicals.
I love my musicals. I'm the lesbian musical loving lesbian is what I am. I'm truly actually a gay man trapped in a lesbian's body where theater's concerned. But I'm still looking for the lesbians in theater. They're stage managers and tech people, lighting designers, but you know, I was always a performer, and my dad said, you know, the theater people made you gay back years and years and years ago. And I was like, well, they would have made me gay, not lesbian. It's a problem. Where are they?
They do make you gay. That's why we're in it.
They do. That's why I'm in it. Well, this show will, first of all, give you great abdominals. My stomach hurts watching this show. You laugh so much. When did you guys realize this thing was such a hit? You talk about playing with these puppets and mixing all these forms and in your living rooms. When did you go, oh, my God, I think this thing, first of all, is going to be good. And then when did you think, oh, my God, this thing's going to be huge?
You know, when we literally were in my apartment with these puppets, it sounds so sad, but none of us had anywhere to be during the day, so we were sort of sitting around, like, making each other laugh.
Oh, the life of an artist.
We were all on unemployment, and I always thought it was funny. You know, none of us probably would have spent so much time on it if it didn't make us laugh, and that's what you do first. And then we sort of started putting together in a story, and it was always actually conceived for, you know, 20-somethings and 30-somethings, and when we started to try and make it more universal and realized that some of the stories we were telling weren't about anybody. You can be a new divorcee or someone who's changing jobs and still looking for your purpose in life. And we started to realize, you know what, this is kind of a little bit for everybody, but we were never sure. And then early on, in the very early stages, people started to show up that were all different ages and everybody laughed at it. And that was when we thought, oh, maybe it is bigger than we think, but we never dreamed it would win the Tony and become what it's become, which has been quite lucky for us.
And what was that night like for you all? Because you all were kind of the underdogs, and who were all of these people that created this show? But there was so much love and passion in that room for you all when they called out your name.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal. I mean, the truth of it is, none of us, we really didn't expect to win. In fact, we so didn't expect to win that we would all were pretty darn tipsy on champagne because we thought none of us are going to have to talk in front of anybody else tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeff Woody's name got called, and that's when we thought, something's afoot that we didn't anticipate. So we all tried to sober up in case we had to talk in front of people, and we did.
So
it was amazing. It was an amazing night.
It is, and it's just kept on going so strong. I know so many people, at least in Chicago, who have been talking to me and know that that Broadway in Chicago is one of our sponsors for the Queer Cast, and so many people have been saying, can you get me Avenue Q tickets? Can you get me? I mean, I've never in all my life had so many people ask me, and I'm like, I can't, but I'll be there in the audience with you. So
That's great.
Really, really, really exciting. And we should say that Avenue Q is also on tour. So we try to bring you topics here on the Queercast, even though we're from the Windy City, that have an impact on you as well. And this show is on tour. It's playing in London, and it's playing in New York still. It's going on tour. After it leaves Chicago, it's going to be in Seattle and then Portland, Oregon, going to Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina. So the southern states are getting some love.
Thank goodness.
We're going way to the North Americas, to Toronto, back into Denver. So you have an opportunity to take a little road trip and see this show, because it is one you don't want to miss in this full-scale professional production. How hard is it for you to cast the talent that you need for this show? Because they have to be good comedians. They have to be a bit enigmatic and kind of disappear and at the right moment be bright, shining stars and be able to sing and act and play.
You know, it's a great question, because it's really hard, much more difficult than we ever anticipated. In the early shows, we had mostly puppeteers from Sesame Street who had sort of found their way.
Oh, really?
And very quickly, when we had to replace them after the first year, you know, we went back to the pool of puppeteers and realized, wow, puppeteers are often puppeteers because they don't want to be out front. They want to be behind scenery or underneath the table or off camera.
Right.
And so we instantly realized, you know, we have to teach actors. We actually have puppet camp. So we send actors to puppet camp and try and figure out which ones are going to be able to puppeteer the show. And then they have to go through another rigorous process of actually singing and acting and being funny, like you say. And so it is quite a narrow, narrow target that we're trying to hit. But actually, that tour that's coming to Chicago is one of our best casts ever, I have to say. They're very, very special people. Because we didn't go on tour right away, we were able to really train them and shop around for the best actors for it.
I love that we're getting the best, because we're the best theater city, period. I know
Chicago is a great theater city.
Consider New York home, but we think it's the best. Hey, I want to go to puppet camp. There needs to be an application for that. I need to be able to go to puppet camp, whether you like me or not. I just want to give them my money and teach me things with puppets.
I like you. I would love you to go. You just have to build a puppet out of one of your old socks and sit in a videotape, and we'll take it from there.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I'm kidding.
No,
but
don't be kidding me.
You could still dig out your old socks if you want.
I would totally be working with sequins and marabou feathers and creating like the most fabulous fucking sock puppet ever tonight. The little eyes that jiggle around. I could be so into that.
You ready for your moment?
I like the lamb chop. Yeah, the lamb chop. I'm all into my moment. Hey, folks, Avenue Q, the Broadway musical, comes to the Cadillac Palace Theater May 21st through June 7th. They've already added a week. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And if you want information on the tour because you don't live near the Chicagoland area, visit AvenueQ.com. You can see the cast members, see the characters, listen to the songs. They've even got a podcast there. They've got so much merchandise. You can take a little bit of Avenue Q home with you. And it's a phenomenon. You want to get on the train, folks, and do not miss this show when it comes to a city near you. Jason Moore, it's lovely to have you on the show.
Oh, great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your very fun and whimsical and shall I say, just out there direction on this play, allowing yourself just to go to the limits, because it makes us all have such a fantastic time.
So glad.
And thanks a lot. Catch Avenue Q. Visit AvenueQ.com.
Teach something relevant, something modern. The internet. The internet is really, really great.
For porn.
I got a fast connection, so I don't have to wait.
For porn.
What? There's always some new site.
For porn.
I browse all day and night.
For porn.
It's like I'm surfing at the speed of light.
For porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
Trekkie.
The internet is for porn.
What are you doing?
Why, you think the net was born? Porn, porn, porn.
Trekkie.
Oh, hello, Kid Monster.
You are ruining my song.
Oh, me sorry. Me no mean to.
Well, if you wouldn't mind please being quiet for a minute so I can finish.
Okie dokie.
We're finishing up here at Las Manitas. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And Jason Moore from Avenue Q, and hope that you're going to go see it. You've seen the show?
I've never seen the show. I've got to see it.
Oh, well, then you definitely have to see it. Yeah. And I hope everybody else will, too.
Of course.
And I definitely think that it's springtime in Chicago.
I've had a couple
of margaritas, and I'm feeling very springtimey.
I have as moist as a snack cake down there.
A snack cake? Like a Little Debbie snack
cake?
Yes,
that was my Jerry Blank.
That was your Jerry Blank?
Yes.
Knock, 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 knock.
I like the pole and the hole. Yes.
Well, so what are you looking forward to most this summer? You know, our next show is going to be all about the leather. Do you love the Memorial Day weekend?
Do I love the leather? To quote Brian Mark Conover, high holy days.
High holy days.
Well, there's a lot of people on their knees.
Yeah.
So, loving the IML. It's sort of the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
Well, although I was sitting here in this bar.
Las Manitas.
Yeah, Las Manitas.
On the corner of Brompton and Halsted, Little Mexican
restaurant. Or the corner
restaurant.
Of Cocksucker and Rimjaw.
Exactly, but it's funny, though, because there's a lot of, like, Chicago Cubs fans here, and then the gays. It's where the literally, like, breeder.
The elite meet.
The elite meet. It's like the breeders and the breeder sports fans and the homos.
The breeders
so
and
strange.
The baseball friends are friends. Yeah.
It's strange.
No, I was sitting here, and there was a guy in all leather, like the jacket, the pants, the hat, and he had a guy on a leash, and the guy on the
slave.
Leash, and the guy on the leash had like little shorts and like a harness and you know whatever, and a collar with the leash. Except the guy that was in the full leather, that was holding the leash, was about 7 foot tall.
Oh my God!
And the guy that was on the leash was a midget. I'm not, or a little person, whatever you call him.
Dwarfs,
I'm
not,
the
little
whole,
people,
literally,
vertically
the
challenged.
Whole bar was like stopped.
I bet.
And then turned. It was genius.
Genius.
And I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
Wow.
And then I had them. I'm kidding.
Well, something to look forward to in the next show. We'll probably be a little more sober, but maybe not. Who knows?
Perhaps.
All right, everybody. Have a good day.
Bye.
Enjoy.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, Amy Wooten, news editor, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.